It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly. A-M-B-E-R-M-A-Y. That's fly.
Time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot. It's time to kick it off, yeah. It's time to do it right. Amber May's show is here with topics you like. Out of the desert where the sun gets hot. So drop on into that Amber May spot.
Welcome to the Amber May Show. I'm Amber May, and I am so excited because it's Tuesday. I really enjoy spending every Tuesday with you. I want to make a few announcements. Last week, we had Pastor Jamel Bashara on the program with us, and this week, he's having his conference. If you haven't registered yet, make sure you register for the conference. You can contact Pastor Jamel at 602-488-1870. That's 602-488-1870. On Friday, they're going to be taking a tour of some of the mosques here in the valley. I think that'd be pretty interesting. If I was able to take off work, I definitely would want to do that. So make sure you check that out. It's kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity almost. He's going to be teaching us how we can witness to Muslims. I mean, we see mosques and different things being put up all over. I think God's really bringing Muslims to our country so that we can witness to them in the safety of being in America. So this is a great opportunity for us to really reach these people for Christ. And they're safe too. They don't have to fear so much for their life. But if we don't witness to them, then they're never going to know the true salvation of Jesus Christ. So we talked about discipleship, and I wonder how that's going with you guys. I have to tell you, my neighbors came to church, and they really liked it. I think they're going to come back again. I'm really excited. But then I got some news that hopefully they're not going to move, but they're not sure of their living situation, if they're going to move or not. So if they do move, that was my opportunity. You know, I may not have had another opportunity to talk to them about Christ, and that was my opportunity, and I took it. But if they stay, then I can continue discipling them, right? So how are you doing with your discipleship? Going to this conference, 602-488-1870 this week may help you disciple someone in the future. You never know. And just a quick shout out to Michael Crawford. He has a brand new television show coming out this Sunday at 10:30 on AZTV. I believe that's channel 13 or 7, depending on which network you're on. But we've been talking about revival lately, and I think the book of Acts gives us a really good example of how revival should be, how it starts, things like that. It gives us a really good background on how to bring about revival, I think. And in Acts chapter 4, I'm just going to brief over it just a little bit for you. John and Peter were still proclaiming the good news of Jesus, and Peter healed a crippled man, and all the people were amazed. The Sadducees did not appreciate the message that Peter and John were preaching. Sadducees were kind of like the rulers at that time, the leaders of society at that time. And they were arrested and thrown in jail until morning. But I want you to look here. It says, many who heard the message believed the message, and the number of men grew to about 5,000. I think when people finally hear the truth, I think people are looking for the truth. And the Word of God says, the truth shall set you free. I think people have a hunger for it, and when they finally hear and receive it, I think big things could happen. But too much of us as churchgoers, as believers, have hid the truth, haven't really gone out and really preached the truth to the masses, and we're kind of to blame on what's going on with the society. But we have an opportunity right now to make a difference and do as Peter and John did and preach the good news of Jesus Christ. Maybe we'll see 5,000 grow in one day. Wouldn't that be something? It also says these signs and wonders, again, they were practicing signs and wonders, but they were not for the believer, but for the unbeliever. But most important than that is the fact that they were not ashamed or afraid to tell others how they can get to heaven and have a relationship with God. The most important thing on earth is having a relationship with God. God wants that for us, but he's not going to force us to. But he does put a God-sized hole into our heart, so to speak, because he wants us to have a desire to be close to something. And too many times we think if we play golf or we have a girlfriend or a boyfriend or we're married or we have money or we have this and that, that we're going to be happy and that's going to satisfy that desire that we so desperately want. But the truth of the matter is only God could fill that desire to make us whole because we desperately want a relationship with him, whether we realize that or not. But if we kind of move forward a little bit, in Acts chapter 5, in verse 29, this was pretty interesting to me. It says, we must obey God rather than men. Why did they say that? Well, they were arrested and the Sanhedrins were confronting them and said, you're not going to preach the gospel or else. And if you look here, the Sanhedrin was only concerned that the people would realize they killed an innocent man. Because what was Peter and John doing at this time? They were saying, you know, they're preaching that Jesus was the Messiah and he shouldn't have, you killed someone who shouldn't have been killed and the blood's on your hands. And they were kind of bringing to light the truth of what was really happening. And I think the Sanhedrins were afraid that if the people found out the truth, again, the truth shall set you free, that they would lose their power because the Sanhedrins had a lust for power. Have you ever noticed this in our society? You see a lot of our Congress leaders, they have a lust for power. They'll do whatever they can to keep their power. Not just them, but if you're careful, you could see it at any level. But I know it's really obvious in our U.S. Congress, people have a lust for power, and it makes you do things that are not right. And now Peter and the other apostles are threatening the Sanhedrin because they are professing the risen Savior, Jesus Christ, and they think that people might stone them or they would be stripped from their power. So the Sanhedrin might be afraid that they're going to be stripped from their powers or stoned. This is not the reason why the apostles are teaching about salvation through the death of Jesus. They're not teaching this because they want the Sanhedrins to lose their power or they want the Sanhedrins to be stoned. No, that's not it at all. If you're a believer in Christ and you know exactly why they're preaching this gospel message, they're teaching this because Jesus said, go out to the nations and preach the gospel. So now since the Sanhedrins and the Sadducees are worried about their power, they're trying to prevent the apostles from getting out their message. The thing the enemy doesn't realize is the message of God will get out no matter what anyone tries to do and stop it. In Daniel, we saw over and over again that death was defeated when the king sentenced Daniel and the three Hebrew boys to death. They were not harmed, and that spoke about the power of God. People watching and the king began to realize who the true God was. It was the Hebrew gods. It was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Jacob. What does that Bible verse say? No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Why? Well, even if you die on earth, your spirit lives forever with God in heaven. If you believe Jesus died for you, your death may be a testimony for others. I knew a man who was killed in a car accident a few years ago. And at this man's funeral, many came to know the Lord that day. Now, had he had lived, which would have been great, I wouldn't wish death upon this individual, but had he have lived, it's possible that those people that came to know Christ that day may still have had their heart hardened and may never have received Christ. So maybe the death of that individual was for a purpose to bring others into salvation. And also maybe God said that his time here was done. He did everything God wanted him to do. I don't know. I'm just speculating. But sometimes through death of someone, it can usher in other people to be saved, which is a wonderful thing. And I hope that someday, when I pass on, I hope other people will get to know Christ before they pass on. If that means at my funeral, then great. Now, if the weapons on earth does not kill you, then again, that points to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That means people have an interest in the God you serve, because if you were supposed to die like the Daniel and the three Hebrew boys, Daniel, he was supposed to be fed to the lions, and the three Hebrew boys were in a fiery furnace that was heated up higher than it should have been when the guard who was going to throw them into the fire died from the heat. I mean, they went inside and they survived. It speaks volumes of the God that we serve. And that's why that promise, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, is so true. The only way you die is if you don't know the one true God, because death is a separation from God. In the book of Acts, the message of the risen Savior was getting out regardless of the imprisonment of Peter. One of the main points of Acts is that the Great Commission, tell everyone you know about what Jesus has done for you. If you are ashamed of Jesus, then he will be ashamed of you. And the Word of God says, if you confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. So that's one of the main points of Acts, confession. Tell others about Jesus. I want to read something for you. And this really stood out to me. It's in chapter 5. It's verse 29 through 42. And it says, Peter and the other apostles replied, we must obey God rather than men. The God of our fathers raised Jesus from the dead, whom you had killed by hanging him on a tree. God exalted him to his own right hand as Prince and Savior, and that he might give repentance and forgiveness of sins to Israel. We are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Spirit, whom God has given to those who obey him. When they heard this, they were furious and wanted to put them to death. But a Pharisee named Gamaliel, a teacher of the law, was honored by all the people. He stood up in the Sanhedrin and ordered that the men be put aside for a little while. Then he addressed them, men of Israel, consider this carefully, what you intended to do to these men. Some time ago, Theudas appeared, claiming to be somebody, and about 400 men rallied to him. He was killed, all his followers were dispersed, and it all came to nothing. After him, Judas the Galilean appeared in the days of the census and led a band of people in revolt. He too was killed, and his followers were scattered. Therefore, in the present case, I advise you, leave these men alone, let them go. For if their purpose or activity is of human origin, it will fail. Get that? If it's of human origin, it will fail. But if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourselves fighting against God. Wow. His speech persuaded them. They called the apostles in and had them flogged. They were ordered then not to speak the name of Jesus and let them go. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Day after day in the temple courts and the house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is the Christ. Wow. That is so powerful. But it's so true. If it's from a human, you know, it's not going to work. But if it's from God, you can't stop it. Let's not be ashamed anymore of God.
Don't go away. Amber May will be right back.
If you're like me, finding just the right gift to people you know is important. That's why you should check out Zazzle.com. And when you use promo code AmberMayShow, you will save 10% off $50 or more. Add your own personal touch to the existing product so you can create just the right gift for the person in your life. Zazzle.com also has products for your business. You can customize your stationery, postage, binders, etc. There's so much you can do at Zazzle.com, and when you use promo code AmberMaySave, you will save 12% off $75 or more. Remember, AmberMaySHOW for 10% off $50, and AmberMaySave for 12% off $75 or more. I have some exciting news. Hi, this is Amber May. The launch of the Amber May Show Club is coming soon. This club is designed to help everybody involved. When you sign up for the Amber May Show Club, you will receive discounts from various businesses for their products and services. I get a benefit because I can stay on the air, and the businesses benefit because you're using their products and services, which keeps their doors open to feed their families and their employees' families. Also, the club members are going to receive free More to the Show CDs. More to the Show CDs are giving you an extra bit of what got cut from the show that didn't make it on the air, so it's going to be pretty exciting. So make sure you stay tuned for the launch date of this new and exciting club, the Amber May Show Club. And if you're a business and want to be a part of this dynamic network, get in touch with Amber May at the radio station. I look forward to you joining the club.
You're listening to the Amber May Show.
Now, during this time of revival, maybe we'll face persecution somewhat like this. But that's not the reason we should stop spreading the word of God. That's even more of the reason why. Because thousands of people came to know Christ that day. Isn't that worth it? I mean, we might hit bumps in the road, but we should never stop. And look how proud they were to be persecuted. They thought, wow, they had been counted worthy of suffering, disgrace for the name. As we move on to Acts chapter 6, we see that the ministry work delegated to men were filled with the Holy Spirit and wisdom. So what does that mean, filled with the Holy Spirit? Well, once you become a born-again Christian, you're then filled with the Holy Spirit. Right here at Pentecost, what happened? God said, I have to leave so I can let my Spirit come. And they were filled. They had the Holy Spirit coming and living within them. So where does your wisdom come from? It comes from God through the Holy Spirit. I want you to notice something. When only a few people are willing to participate in ministry, then people and things will be neglected. And we see that here in Acts chapter 6. A few people cannot physically do all the work. You can't do everything. That's why I said a few weeks ago, 2010 will be the year that 100% of the people will do 100% of the work. In this example here in Acts chapter 6, widows were being overlooked in their daily distribution of food. The blessing here was that there were men willing to help in ministry. Some people have a hard time delegating work, but this is so necessary so that things and people are not neglected. People need to examine what their strengths are and give it to the Lord. He gave you your strengths. Use it for Him. See where you can help out. And if you see a ministry that needs to begin or start, then go for it. The Bible says those that water will also be watered. What does that mean? You start telling yourself that you want to bless someone, so you join ministry work. It always turns out that you get such an incredible blessing out of it. It's awesome. It's really awesome how it works. So back to Acts chapter 6, after the men stepped up to help meet the needs of the people, the word of God spread and the number of disciples in Jerusalem increased rapidly, and a large number of priests became obedient to the faith. This can and will happen in our country if we do as the apostles did in Acts. So to sum things up, we need to be discipled, but we too need to disciple somebody. We need to step up to help ministries. 100% of the people need to do 100% of the work. Not a few number of people doing 100% of the work. That's not cool. That's not going to work because you know what? Things and people will be neglected. Few people can't do everything. Things are going to be missed. Many hands make the load light. So how are you going to make the load light? I'd like you to let me know. Check out my blog at theambermayshow.wordpress.com. I'm eventually going to tie it to my website. I'm just trying to figure out how to do that. So it's theambermayshow.wordpress.com. I want you to write some comments about how you can make a difference. I want to hear how you're planning to make a difference in this world, how you're planning to bring revival. I've said this before, that you change the world by changing the world of one person at a time. That's how you do it. Someone said, how do you eat an elephant? One spoonful at a time. How do you change the world? One person at a time. So let's be disciples. Let's continue meeting the physical needs of people around us. Let's see how we can help out in different ministries. And if there's a ministry on your heart, go talk to the leaders of your church. If they say no, then pray about it. See what God says. Maybe you do it on your own outside of church, but first pray about it. Can't do anything unless you pray about it. Because God's will always be done, just like as we just read. And it says, but if it is from God, you will not be able to stop these men. You will only find yourself fighting against God. Do you really want to fight against God? No, I know you don't.
It's time now for your Love Dare Challenge.
Love promotes intimacy. He who covers over an offensive promotes love, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. That's Proverbs 17:9. You can be close to a good friend you've known since childhood or college days. You can be close to a sibling, your parents, or a cousin who's about your same age. But nothing rivals the closeness that experienced between a husband and a wife. Marriage is the most intimate of all human relationships. That's why we need it so much. Each of us come into life with an inborn hunger to be known, loved, and accepted. The prospect of sharing our home with another person who knows us down to the most intimate detail is part of the deep pleasure of marriage. Yet this great blessing is also the site of its greatest danger. Someone who knows us this intimately can either love us at depths we can never imagine, or can wound us in ways we may never fully recover from. It's both the fire and the fear of marriage. Which of these are you experiencing the most in your home right now? If home is not considered a place of safety, you will both be tempted to seek it somewhere else. Perhaps you might look to another person initiating a relationship that either flirts with adultery or actually enters in. You may look for comfort in work or in outside hobbies, something that particularly shields you from intimacy, but also keeps you around people who respect and accept you. Your mate should not feel pressure to be perfect in order to receive your approval. They should not walk on eggshells in the very place where they ought to feel the most comfortable, in their bare feet. The Bible says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. 1 John 4:18. The atmosphere in your marriage should be one of freedom, like Adam and Eve in the garden. Your closeness should only intensify your intimacy. Being naked and not ashamed, Genesis 2:25, should exist in the same sentence right in your marriage, physically and emotionally. Admittedly, this is tender territory. Marriage has unloaded another person's baggage into your life and yours into theirs. Both of you have reasons to feel embarrassed, and this much has been revealed about you to another living soul. But this is your opportunity to wrap all this private information about them in the protective embrace of your love and promise to be the one who can best help him or her deal with it. Some of these secrets just need to be accepted. They are part of this person's makeup and history. And though these issues may not be very pleasant to deal with, they will always require a gentle touch. In either case, you and you alone wield the power either to reject your spouse because of this or to welcome them in, warts and all. They will either know they're in a safe place or that they feel free to make mistakes, or they will recoil into themselves and be lost to you for perhaps forever. Loving them should be your life's work. Think of it this way. No one knows you better than God does and the one who made you. The writer of Psalms 139 was right when he said, "You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thoughts from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. Psalms 139, 2-4. And yet God, who knows the secrets about us that we even hide from ourselves, loves us at a depth we cannot begin to fathom. How much more should we, as imperfect people, reach out to our spouse in grace and understanding, accepting them for who they are and assuring them that their secrets are safe with us? This may be an area where you really failed in the past. If so, don't expect your mate to immediately give you a wide open access to their heart. You may begin to rebuild trust. Jesus himself is described as one who doesn't barge into people's lives, but who stands at the door and knocks. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and dine with him, and he with me. Revelations 3:20. The reality of intimacy always takes time to develop, especially after being compromised, but your commitment to reestablishing it can happen today for anyone willing to take the dare. So the dare for this week is determined to guard your mate's secrets, unless they are dangerous to them or to you, and to pray for them. Talk with your spouse and resolve to demonstrate love in spite of these issues. Really listen to them when they share personal thoughts and struggles with you. Make them feel safe. How much of an effort is it for you to hold back from saying something critical or otherwise? If so, write that down in your journal. And what have you learned about your spouse today or this week? Simply from listening.
That's been your Double Dog Love Dare.
So please write me. I want to know about some of the things you want to do or some ideas you have. And let's start a discussion about this. I think it's a great idea. So find me at theambermayshow.wordpress.com or write me P.O. Box 86474 Phoenix, Arizona 85080. P.O. Box 86474 Phoenix, Arizona 85080. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, think about number two, because eventually, number two will look out for you.